Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cross Pollination with Matt Harrington, a 30-minute podcast focusing on young leadership and the skills needed for tomorrow's workforce. Cross Pollination works to connect ideas, concepts, and strategies from various thought leaders and share those insights with the world. Now, here's your host, Matt Harrington.
Good morning, afternoon, everybody. This is Matt Harrington. Thank you for joining me for another Cross Pollination. This is episode 17, Millennial Women. This is a very exciting episode. We're broadcasting live from the Vermont SHRM Conference. And today we're celebrating the 15th annual Vermont SHRM Conference. The conference is titled HR Evolution, Change Tomorrow Today, which sounds right in alignment with our podcast series and what X Pollination is all about. What better way to talk about changing tomorrow today than to discuss the young, game-changing professionals themselves, the millennials. And that's what I'm going to be spending on later today, but we've also had a millennial presentation already here today. I've got two very special guests. The two very special guests, I just went to their workshop. They did a great job, even though they had some presenter issues. But that's fine. That's like a presenter's worst nightmare. But we're happy to have these two great women with us. They join us. One is Jessica Sabick of Vermont Energy Investment Corporation, and the other is Lindsay LaFroque-Ryan of Change the Story Vermont, and both have just finished their presentation, Attracting and Retaining Millennial Women to Your Company, which is obviously the title of this podcast. It obviously got me excited because millennial was in the title, but even more importantly, and I talked to both women before, I said, What a great topic based on the women's perspective as well, which I can never give a first-hand account of, but these two can, and they've been working with millennial women for a couple of years now, and so I'm excited to have them. Welcome to Cross Pollination, both of you.
Thanks for having us. Thanks.
So let's start with just a little bit of background. I know you guys just did this in your presentation, but I know you're energized from it. Jessica, why don't you start about your background, just where you hail from, what you're doing in your organization, and why this kind of presentation matters.
All right, terrific. Currently I'm the training manager at a company called the Vermont Energy Investment Corporation. We're a nonprofit based in Burlington, Vermont. We also have offices in Washington, D.C. and in Columbus, Ohio. And we focus on energy efficiency. We help people save energy in their homes, their businesses, their transportation. It's important to us to make a difference on climate change. We're a growing company that's really embraced a lot of progressive policies when it comes to employment. We have a great workplace, and we're really proud of what we do. My role began as an HR assistant, so I started there in 2003. I like to joke that I started when I was 15, but alas, I've been there 12 years, 13 years next year. And so I've moved amongst a few different HR roles, and now as a training manager, I work in partnership with the HR team on employee engagement programs like our new hire, supervisor skill building, business essentials, leadership development. And I also work on our social justice work, which very closely aligns with our mission, helping women and the whole organization understand how social justice plays an issue internally and externally in our community. So that's me, Lindsay.
Right. And I will vouch that Jess is an all-around awesome person.
Good.
So I'm Lindsay. I am a workforce development consultant, and the shortest way I can describe what I do is I connect potential to opportunities. And a lot of my work over the last decade has been working with young people, particularly in high school, to open workplaces for them so they can explore careers. Right now in Vermont, I'm working on a multi-year strategy called Change the Story, which is aligning philanthropy, policy, and programs to advance women's economic status in our state. And I'm really happy to be here.
So you just wrapped up your presentation. I went through it. I learned a bunch of new stuff, a bunch of statistics that I found fascinating. But why don't you give us a quick rundown of how SHRM got a hold of you, why you kind of put your hat into the ring and said, we want to present on this topic, and lead us through some of that presentation.
Well, someone in our presentation is called a visionary, so let's lead with that.
All right, that's nice.
I like that sound. That sounds great.
Good sound bite.
So Jess and I have known each other quite a while, and we got started working together about a year and a half ago because BEIC wanted to make sure that they were doing all that they could do to really build their pipeline and make sure they were recruiting young women into positions, because BEIC has a lot of technical jobs that might not necessarily be attractive to women. And so we started to brainstorm, like, what are ways that we could work together. And Beth Pack, who's the founder of BEIC, also a leader with Change the Story Vermont, as well as Vermont Works for Women, felt very passionately about getting young women into their workplace. And so that is how the Job Shadow program was born. And last year we piloted this Job Shadow program with 3 young women, and this year we are doubling that number to 6
Great.
Yeah. I think the one thing I would add, Matt, is that we're really committed to being an employer of choice within Vermont and across our other offices. It's important to us to demonstrate leadership in as an employer, to show what other companies can do, the impact that we can make, not only in making a difference on how we achieve our goals, but also in demonstrating for other companies how easy it is to do this work. So not only did we build the program, but from the beginning, it was important to us to share the story of what we were doing in order to encourage other companies. So Lindsay and I have worked together with other companies in the area, and we figured that by coming to this conference, we would be able to get the message out even further in order to help other companies see this as something that they can focus on as well.
Great. You know, some of the statistics that you guys rattled off, and I was writing as quickly as I can, so correct me if I have some of them wrong, but they were just so... they were so poignant and they were so important that I think people that are listening to this need to understand when we talk about the women to men kind of variation and diversity of that. 60% of women have college degrees, right, compared to are earning college degrees. 65%, however, are earning minimum wage, right, compared to men. But men, 75% of men have jobs that give them over $100,000, right?
Subtle, but yeah, for people who are earning more than $100,000 a year, 75% of them are men.
Yeah.
So 25% of the women earning, people earning over $100,000 are women. So there's a big discrepancy there when you look at some of those higher positions, executive positions, well-paid positions. There's a real difference between men and women in certain careers and highly paid careers.
Well, and this was the one that really really got to me, which was amazing, was only 4% of women are CEOs in Fortune 1000 companies.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, having been in a business with ran by a woman, that's kind of astounding.
Well, and 15% of women
are serving
on board.
Yeah.
85%.
So one simple thing that a company can do when looking at their sort of gender equity is seeing what is their executive team, who's involved in their executive team, looking at their boards from a gender and diversity perspective to make sure that they're really getting that wide variety of perspectives and input on the direction of the organization, and not just limiting themselves to one or two types of people.
And I would also like to say, you know, framing this is not a women-only issue.
Yeah.
This is an economic issue. Women are 50% of the population, and we really need to be making use of all talent.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And something both of you mentioned in your presentation, it's even a men's issue. Men should be on board pushing, and we're going to get to the program that you guys both worked on together, which you said it was very important that, you know, in your company, Jessica, you had 2 women leaders that were really pushing for this. But how great would it be also to have men right in that, you know, encouraging, getting rid of some of the red tape, anything that gets in the way of this, it would be good to have men there as well and that sort of structures to it.
Yeah, one of the founders of our organization was a woman, and so it's been important from the beginning that there's a strong component of women in leadership. So we were fortunate to have women champions. I think there's an opportunity in every organization, regardless of where they're starting from, for women to be, for men to be allies, for men to have a call to action, to understand that There's no problem with having lots of men in executive leadership positions. It's an opportunity for them to expand their thinking about what an executive looks like,
as well as diverse teams are more contributing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So it's kind of a loaded question. Maybe we already answered some of it, but I want to – the back end of it is what I really want to get to. So, one, do you think there's equality in the workplace for women? which some of those statistics might lean towards, no. But more importantly, do you think it's changing with the millennial generation? As we're talking about millennials, and that's what you just did your presentation on, do you see it shifting, or do you see, you know, you guys mentioned kind of blindness to it a little bit more in the millennial generation and definitely the Gen Z generation. So talk to me about that.
Sure. I don't think that there's equality in the workplace. And, you know, not to get statistic heavy, but within only 1 year out of college, working full-time were paid on average 82% of what male counterparts were. This controlling for hours, occupation, college major, employment sector. And oftentimes, I think that this is cast as individual choices. And what I would like to pose is that it's really, we need to be testing our assumptions, mm-hmm. our values, and our biases.
Right. Really. There really is more of a systemic issue when it comes to pay equity across organizations. But what it really, in contrast to the millennial generation, I think, I hope you could agree with us, that there's within the individuals in that generation, they don't necessarily see those differences. So I do think there's a discrepancy between the people who are making hiring decisions, compensation decisions, the people who maybe aren't millennials, they're boomers or extras like us. I don't know what you are, but we can talk about that. I guess I identify as an extra. I'm kind of on the cusp. And so those two people in positions of power aren't necessarily recognizing the equality that I think and the diversity that the millennial generation embraces. So there's an opportunity for older folks to learn from the newer generation coming in and to expand our understanding of equality a little bit more.
I think equally as well, it's important for millennials to understand that there is still diversity issues. Because we tend to be so colorblind that we maybe or race blind or sex blind, whatever it happens to be, that we come from a high school or a college where there was so much equality because it's so being pushed on us, that then when we get to the workplace, we kind of go, oh, yeah, it's the same, right? I mean, that would be my assumption, I would imagine. So I think, you know, as much as, yes, they are coming and they do have this great new appreciation for all of it, it's also educating them on a lot of the statistics that are still out there because a lot of the companies are still run by baby boomers and Gen Xers that don't have that. And so, yes, when the millennials do come into leadership positions, it's going to perhaps change the tide, but it isn't right now until for them to understand that as well. We're still dealing with these issues.
And I think that's why part of this program was really trying to create opportunities for mentorship for our existing professional women to reach to a younger generation and to bridge that gap in understanding. I think that there's for new people entering the workforce, there are other leaders that they can work with and look up to learn the sort of unwritten rules of the company and start to understand how they can influence and be a grassroots change within the company that they share and that they join in a way that sort of safe and obviously works for the company, but that there's an opportunity for shifting the understanding once they join an organization.
Now, Jessica, your VEIC, or Vermont Energy Investment Corporation, did a great program and utilized a lot of Lindsay's skills and consulting around this. So I want you to talk a lot about the job shadow program that you did. That was kind of your case study in the presentation this morning. Talk to me a little bit about how that came to fruition, how you rolled it out, how maybe even some people listening to the podcast might be able to do that in their own organization.
Great. The first place we started was having some strong champions at the executive level, obviously having the support of the executives and people that could help us find the budget and the resources to make it happen was an important first step. We also aligned the work with our strategy of the organization. We want to be an employer of choice. We recognize that in order to continue to grow and attract and retain talent, that we need to have some progressive employment practices. And then we decided to look for a partner, and we found Lindsay. We had been working with her on other programs. Having an outside partner was absolutely essential for me as someone implementing it internally. Her connections within the community and an understanding of the segment of the high school women, the connection with the schools was really helpful in that sort of project management and thought leadership. So I really appreciated working with her. So we built the program to have six internal organizational representatives work with young high school women and had one day a month where they came into the organization, shadowed women, as well as participating in some training. Our basic orientation content was repurposed for a new, slightly different lens with this younger generation, talking about what we do at the company, what do our financials look like, how can we build those skills for these women and help them understand our industry and our work, in addition to having them sit and shadow other organizational representatives.
We had lunch together. You know, we had fun. We bought some food and gave them some of our company swag. So whatever those things that you are doing for your new hires, it was a very simple transition, I think, from our new hire program to just round it out for this group.
Yeah. I would also say that we did a lot in terms of training the mentors and the mentees to work together. So with the mentors, you know, I utilized actually a great document that Vermont Works for Women has, a resource where it's talking about how is it that women should be modeling, because, you know, young women are mirroring what women are doing, adult women. And so we have a responsibility to have a healthy body image, support women alongside us in the workplace. There is enough to go around. Thinking about, you know, how you approach leaders, and because they're sponges. They're watching everything, and they're going to emulate that and see. So I utilize that as a way to train mentors, along with what do I do with a student when they come into the workplace? Mm-hmm. You know, so oftentimes, I think internships and job shadows can be really intimidating on the employer side because they don't really know what it is to do with the young person. And so talking through that and really getting real about the concerns that they had and making sure it was a safe space that they felt supported in. So one other thing that we made sure to focus on was providing opportunities within our finance, our engineering, our data and software development areas of the company. So we picked departments that we wanted to highlight for women as non-traditional fields. So we really focused on making sure that the young high school women saw themselves in roles that were high earning, high potential, high growth areas within the organization so that we could start to have more diverse teams across the company.
If you're just joining me, this is the 17th episode of Cross Pollination. I have with me Jessica Sabick of Vermont Energy Investment Corporation and Lindsay Lathrop Ryan of Change the Story Vermont, or VT. And we're here live at the 15th annual SHRM conference in beautiful Burlington, Vermont. If you want to learn more, and we've got very excited guests here as well. If you want to follow along, you can hashtag us at VTFHRM or hashtag XPollination. If you want to follow along with Jessica, she is on Twitter at VTMama. And you can also learn more about her organization at www.veic.org. You can also follow along with Lindsay's company, Change the Story, at www.vtworksforwomen.org. And Lindsay can be followed on Twitter as well at Lindsay Lathrop. And that's how you're going to follow along with us. And we're blasting out social stuff. So if you're tuning in, make sure to follow along with us, and we'll get all that information out there as well. So a couple of things that you guys mentioned that I thought was kind of really fascinating. One of them was utilizing inclusive language, which I think is I'm guilty of as well. And I got educated, let's just say, on a couple of the things before we got on the podcast, which is perfect. I love being educated on stuff. So, but talk to me a little bit about utilizing inclusive language. I know you guys kind of have a structure for Vermont Works for Women where you kind of go through foster a safe, supportive, non-judgmental environment, model positive self-esteem, support healthy body image, teach participants to be allies for one another, and then the last is utilize inclusive language. But talk to me about that because I think millennials, baby boomers, Gen X, doesn't matter who you are, we're probably all guilty because our culture just perpetuates really horrible stereotypes again and again.
So why can't we just call everyone guys?
Right.
Let's do a podcast on that.
Yes.
I slip up all the time, and I think so much of this is just being okay about making mistakes and also having awareness, right? So, you know, even thinking about calling women, adult women, girls or gals or ladies. Thinking about, like, what is it that kind of, what does that evoke, you know? And it's kind of like being a lesser.
Yeah.
And so I think when you have awareness about what kinds of language is appropriate and having ready responses, so much of this is just practice and having ready responses in your pocket, right? And also being okay on correcting, right? So we did that with you. and you're fine. We're all fine.
I learned.
Well, and one of the things I wanted to add, now, granted, as a learning and development professional, this is important to me, but I have that sort of growth mindset. I recognize that I'm not fully baked, and I'm not finished learning about myself and about others. So whether it's the latest personality profile that I'm learning about, but I am interested in understanding my own implicit bias. Mm-hmm. I have biases, and I'm not going to pretend they're not there. It's rather about understanding them, unpacking them a little bit, talking about them with trusted professionals that I want to learn from in order to grow beyond sort of where I came from, that culture that I might have been raised in. So that really is what it's about for me, is about that interaction and growth in order to recognize when there are certain words or phrases that I've been using all along and never realized the impact and the other sort of unwritten or hidden meanings behind them.
Right. And then when it comes to working with young people and occupations, we want to not use things like firemen, you know, all the man jobs, because we should be using words like firefighter and really owning that, because there are women that are firefighters,
right,
and we need to be inclusive with that.
Great. So what can this generation do to help? What can millennials do to help? One of the things was just educating yourself about inclusive language. The other we brought up was understanding that there is still bias in the workplace, and that you know, just because you came from a very safe environment growing up doesn't necessarily mean the workplace is still equal.
Right.
What are some other things that millennials can do specifically to help?
I think you know, two ideas come to mind. One is that I think we need to continue to build each other up. Millennial women specifically really need to practice and understand that there's abundance. You know, there is enough to go around. And, you know, bringing each other to networking events and making it more comfortable to put yourself out there in that way, I think is really good. The other thing is that this generation, millennials, they're very entrepreneurial. So if you're starting a company, you know, think about the fact that you get to make the rules, and how can it, how can you pay it forward and make sure that your staff is feeling supported, both genders,
yes,
and feeling heard.
And one thing that we heard from the women that we worked with last year in the program, the young women, was having some faith that it will all work out. You don't have to have your life planned out at 17, 20, 25, but there are opportunities to switch gears, switch careers, to reframe your future. And so it's okay to figure it out, make a mistake, you know, change your trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
There's having faith in that will come together. And by choosing employers of choice, by seeking out the companies that are progressive in their approach, that are transparent about their pay policies, about their employee engagement programs, their leadership development programs, you're really influencing other companies to step up their game and develop programs that are going to be more enticing for all folks.
I'm so happy you said that too, Jess, because I really feel like in order to move the needle, it's going to take the business community to step up and really take charge of this. Businesses, I think, really have more of a voice here, and it's, being vocal about what gender diversity looks like in their workplace and being vulnerable about saying, we need to change this.
One of the things that you even brought up, Lindsay, in your talk was the idea of complimenting women on nice shoes. So it's women to women compliments that we've got to even start to kind of change or just encourage that. I think one of the examples you said was you also did a good presentation. You also did a good job at you did a good task point, because that's usually reserved for men. When and then the women kind of compliment the dress that they're wearing or the haircut or whatever. And I think millennial women, but and there's some concern around that, because there is this kind of celebrity status, right, that we're dealing with, especially around both probably men and women of the millennial generation. They focus a lot on image, and I think so. Talk to me a little bit about what you were trying to convey there of complimenting not just image, which is still fine, but also the more task oriented stuff, more job oriented.
Like you can wear a really awesome scarf and have kick-ass presentation skills.
Yes.
You know, like you can do both. And I think that we need to be complimenting one another on both. And I am really challenging myself with not saying guys as much, and also complimenting my girlfriends on, you know, their abilities. And because we're so capable, and I feel like all of this really boils down to modeling it. And Vermont Works for Women really schooled me on this because I was definitely using, you know, like, we live in Vermont, everyone wears a scarf, like, all season. you know, like, the scarf compliment. And I was working with one of the staff there, and we were around a whole bunch of high school girls and or young women and real estate.
That's a great example. Thank you for providing.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I was so
intentional. Yeah. And we started talking about this idea of no body talk, and they have since rephrased it to be x-ray vision. So really paying attention and complimenting things that are on the inside versus outside, because so oftentimes you cannot control those things, especially when you're a younger person and, you know, might not have control of your access to cool clothes or whatever.
Right, right.
Like, why is it that we're spending all of our time complimenting those things and really promoting this culture of celebrity?
And I think it's along the same lines when I focus on growth and thinking and change and development, it's about the effort, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're trying to make sure that we recognize. It's not about whether or not you achieve perfection. It's about how hard you're working on it, or your preparation, or your work towards an ideal. It's not whether or not it's completely achieved.
Talk to me a little bit, Jessica, just about, and we're wrapping up here. We've got about 4 minutes,
mm-hmm.
but talk to me, one of the things that you're doing in this year's program is negotiation skills, and it was called Smart Start. It's about how to negotiate salary increases. So talk to both.
Sure, so I can talk a little bit about Smart Start. So this is a program that is going to be starting with Fall Ridge University in March, and this is with the Vermont Commission on Women, and it's all around salary negotiation. And so we actually were joking around in our presentation about advocating for your salary and yourself. And so, you know, thinking, I always say this, but like, no one's just going to come over and like hand you more money, you know, and you have to get comfortable at asking for those things. And that needs to start early, because you are really just starting to create the pathway to like just your future salary. And that's going to be based on your now salary. So being comfortable with advocacy is really important. So we did add this as a skill that we'll focus on in the Job Shadow program.
And also, I think the same skill applies when it comes to project management and being a business professional. A lot of the work that we have at VEIC is about being a program manager or a project manager, which means you're not a supervisor of the team that you're working with. We call it influence without authority. It's negotiation skills. How do I get someone else from another department to do this piece of work so that this project can move forward? That's a skill that everyone can work on. Women in particular can typically have a harder time advocating for themselves. And so in that project management approach, it's a great way to sort of practice that skill, and then also practice it when you're negotiating for a new job, for a new salary, for a promotion, making sure that you don't just sit back and wait passively for it to happen, but to practice those skills in all different kinds of work so that when it comes to that next job offer that you're negotiating, you're ready and practiced on how to ask for what you need.
Great. If you're just joining, we're wrapping up the podcast right now. We've got about another 2 minutes, and I got our final question, which we always wrap up with. But we have with us Jessica Sabick of Vermont Energy Investment Corp and Lindsay LaFroe-Bryan of Change Story BT. You can go to their website, VEIC.org, or BTWorksForWomen.org. You can also follow along on Twitter. But to wrap up the podcast, what we always do is we ask each guest, what is your favorite app or technology that you have downloaded in the last 3 to 6 months that you're utilizing or you want to give a shout-out to?
Well, Jess and I discovered that we're fans of Insight Timer, so that's a guided meditation app, but I won't speak for you.
Yeah, no, that's funny. I didn't notice your question until last night, and so I was trying to figure out what I was going to write. The first thing that I thought of was PBS Kids. I have a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old, so if we need to buy some time and using technology for them, I certainly have that app on my phone. But really, I recently purchased a hybrid electric car, so I love the ChargePoint app. That's really integral
Very
for this
cool.
technology. It tells me where there's electric charging stations nearby. So as a technology, I think that electric cars have a great future and making a difference in our energy situation across the company. So I thought I'd stick in some advocacy for electric cars as well as the app that I think is really well written.
Well, all being Vermonters, I think we have to. It's our due diligence, right?
Yeah.
Ladies, women.
I
caught myself. Women.
People.
Thank you for joining me on Cross Pollination. It's a pleasure, and I can't wait to meet up with you guys, women, again.
What's our next topic? This was really fun. Thank you so much for having us. Great. Thank you.